take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, we'll read the first six verses together of Psalm 85, and then we'll read yet one other verse that I'll read to you. Psalm 85, verses 1 through 6. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought us back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And let me turn to one other passage, Luke chapter 12, verse 48. I'll just read it to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And let's pray. Father, you have given us so many wonderful things. God, just this morning we saw happen in our church service more than most churches will see in a year. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God here. Father, please, may what happens in this room tonight launch much farther than just the next couple days. May it last for generations to come. Use us tonight. Please, may we listen and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening describes the exact purpose and topic of my sermon, the responsibility of revival. We read from Psalm 85, verse 6, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? God is saying that when revival comes, true Christians rejoice in the fact that revival has come. And here the psalmist says, God, revive us again. We sing the song, Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled from fire from above. Well, if that fire comes, then the Bible says we are going to rejoice in him, that he has brought revival. There were three young preachers here this morning, three men of God. They drove from Baltimore to come down to be a part of our services. I'm going to tell you just a brief portion of the conversation that I had with them after church. People would come to my counseling line, and then I stepped out of my office, and there the three men were just standing very patiently, waiting to just talk to me for a moment, and this is what they said. They said, we were in the area and wanted to come to see if everything we've been hearing about this church is true. And one of them said, it's true. It's true. Said, when we were driving down 81, we were kind of watching for the church. None of them had ever been here before. And they said, we could tell which one it was. We were sure that this was the church. Said, there wasn't, the parking lot was full. He said, from the from Highway 81, he said, this must be it. Wow, look at that building. And then, you know, I counted it up today. You realize, folks, that we had people from 12 different states in our services this morning and this evening. 12 different states just coming to look at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, coming, and you say, why? Because I think they came to see if God was here, and He was, and I don't think they were disappointed when they came. These three young preachers, as they pulled into the parking lot, another one said, and this is what they told me. They said, from 81, we said, wow, look at all those cars, and look at that parking lot full, and look at all those buses. They said, we started to get excited. Said, we pulled into the parking lot, and we were greeted there. And you could tell, even in the parking lot, people were excited. You could just tell. People were getting out of their cars, and one said, not walking toward the church like they were upset about coming to church. They were almost running. They were in a hurry to get inside the building. Said, you could just tell in the parking lot that something was about to happen. Another one said, we walked in the back door. The person that greeted us had a smile from ear to ear. Brother Peterson, where you at? He has a smile from ear to ear. His ears are very close together, but it's... But that's who they were talking about. And then one of the preacher boys said this. He said, there was a revival spirit in the hallway of the auditorium. So you could just tell something was about to happen. They said, we drove from Baltimore, and are we ever glad that we came? Every other week of my life, I go somewhere and preach. Tomorrow morning, I'll go to Huntington, West Virginia, and I'll be there for a couple of days and preach. But I go everywhere. I think the week after that, I'm in the state of Washington. And I don't think I can tell you everywhere I'm going this year. I'll go from Washington to Texas to Maine to Florida, all over the United States of America. And folks, there are dead Baptist churches everywhere. Now, I don't even have to mention the other churches, the other non-Baptist churches. They're even in worse shape because of all the false doctrine, the false Bibles, the false growth. You see, they've got growth, but a bunch of lost people. They get a bunch of people in, not even born again, won't even present the gospel, don't even have an altar call. And but I'm talking about fundamental Baptist churches, churches that we would call of like faith. I'm talking about churches where nobody says amen. And if you did, they'd want to drag you out and beat you. They wouldn't want anybody to agree with the preaching. Churches where nobody gets saved, not in the church service, and dead sure not out on the streets because the people are so excited about Jesus that they're out there telling others about Christ. Nobody sings. I am never afraid to have guests come to this church because our church is a real church and they sing the praises of God. Churches where people don't like church. They don't want to be there. Churches where nobody comes back on Sunday night. If you were a guest this morning, I promised you something. I said, if you come back to church on Sunday night here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, this building will be full. And look around. There are a few scattered spots where there are some seats open. But this is a pretty full church on Sunday night. Now, there are churches everywhere. All their members stayed home to watch TV tonight. Probably get more Bible out of the television than what they would have gotten from going to their church. So maybe I don't blame them. There are churches where nobody comes on Wednesday night. Nobody's interested in serving God at the midweek service, the prayer meeting, the Bible study. Hey, there are churches where no visitors come. If a visitor came, the visitor would probably be more friendly than the people in the church. They've got their four and no more. They're more than satisfied with their church. Hey, I don't think we ought to be satisfied until we reach the whole world. That was our commission. We're supposed to go out to the whole world, and we're to reach them and do something. You know, revival. Oh, revival. What a wonderful thing. Revive us again. We sing it. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Our church has not planned a week-long revival meeting since I came. I think I've been here 21 months. Now, I'm not against week-long revival meetings. The only thing is, we've not needed a week-long revival meeting because we have had a 21-month-long revival meeting. We're seeing people saved by the hundreds regularly. Now, if you heard some flake on television say, well, this is not the time of revival. It's not the time of revival for him. It may not be the time of revival for his church, but I'm not going to let the devil lie to me and lie to our church and say, you can't get people saved today. You just got to be willing to pay the price. And yes, you can get people saved today. No, this is a time of apostasy, but it is not an apostasy that God brought. It's an apostasy that people accept. We're seeing families salvaged. I love that. A couple of families today coming to get saved or coming to get baptized and to join our church. And that's a regular thing. We're seeing the backslidden regained. We're seeing lives change. We're seeing the altar full. We're seeing unity in our church. And to be real honest, unity like I have never seen in a church ever in my life. Never. Never. And I've been in a lot of churches and I've seen a lot of things. I'm talking about a unity that is Holy Spirit led. We're seeing our church attendance grow. We're seeing our Sunday schools grow. We're seeing our Sunday night crowd grow and our Wednesday night crowd grow. We're seeing our Thursday soul winning crowd grow. We're seeing our Saturday soul winning crowd grow. We're watching our bus ministry, the number of workers growing, and our bus ministry, they're reaching out to those that need transportation to church. It's growing. We're watching our offerings grow. We're reading our Bible more, and there has been growth in the study of the Bible around here. I know for a fact, we're praying more. We are praying more. There is a revival. There is growth in regard to the effort that our people are putting into prayer. Our separation from the world, we're growing. I'm watching some Christians that were dead and dry and uninterested in going forward for God. I'm watching them come out of it. I'm watching them leave the world. I'm watching them say, I'm going to change. I'm not going to live this same way the rest of my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to purify. I want to get myself away from the world. I want to do whatever I can to distance myself from the world and get closer to Jesus Christ. I'm seeing a growth in our separation from the world. We are having a modern day revival. With that revival, though, folks, comes responsibility. You see, in Luke 12:48, we find these words, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Now, may I say to every person that is a part of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, even if you're an unfaithful part, we have been given much. We are seeing a modern day revival. We are seeing something happen here that you read about in history books. We are seeing God do something, and we better stop and realize what God is doing. But I must tell you, there is responsibility that goes along with that revival. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Now you listen to me, every person from the smallest child to the oldest person in this church, you are a part of a modern day God sent revival, but you are responsible for that revival, and there are some things we all have to do to keep it going. We've been given much, and God is going to expect some things from us. God's just not going to bring the God is not a welfare God. God says you don't work, you don't eat. And we are in the midst of a revival, and we all had better stop and realize our responsibility. You say, well, Brother Owens, I have only been a member of this church for one day. You are as responsible as the rest of us for the revival that God has brought to this church. Brother Owens, I only make it in here once every couple of weeks. You're responsible. You're a part of the membership of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and you are responsible. Well, but Brother Owens, I'm just a little child. Every little child here, you listen to me. If you're in first grade or second grade or third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade or sixth grade or in our junior high or high school, you are responsible to do your part in the revival. Hey, but Brother Owens, I'm old and gray, and what can I do? It really doesn't matter what you can do. It matters what you're responsible to do, because you are responsible being a part of a revival. Because to whom much is given, much is required. To keep the revival going, we're going to have to be responsible. We've got to be responsible. Say, what is our responsibility, Brother Owens? First of all, you need to recognize it for what it is. Recognize this revival for what it is. It is revival sent from God. Revival comes from above. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Bible says. Hey, real revival is not man-made. You know something? It doesn't matter how well I have been trained, I couldn't muster up what God's doing around here. How could one man create the unity of 700 or 800 people like we have here? You can't do that. I know some men that can't create unity between him and his wife, let alone 700 people. The kind of unity that is in this church right now, that's not manufactured by man. That is manufactured when a group of people submit themselves to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and God unifies their hearts. Hey, we have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-sent revival going on around here. You can't conjure up the kind of spirit that we have here. This is of God. God has come to visit the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. hey, when I took this church, people said to me, you're going where? You've heard me say it before. Martinsburg, West Virginia, where's that? I've never heard of that. And to be honest, neither had I. Honest engine, cross my heart, hope Brother Bajent dies, stick a needle in Brother Young's eye. I am telling you, I had never heard of it. When Kevin and Loretta Walker mentioned to me Martinsburg, West Virginia, I had to say, I had never heard of it before in my life. Never. But may I say something to everyone here? God had heard of it. God had heard of it. And God had been here. And God had come before. And God had a plan. And may I say to everybody in this church, you better stop and realize what God is doing in this place. God, in a miraculous way, has come to visit the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. God has come to visit not only this church, but God has come to visit this community. Hang on, Martinsburg. Something's happening out here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and it is going to affect your entire community. Your entire community. What your social programs cannot do, this church plans to get done. We're going to get a bunch of these druggies off the street, get them born again, clean up their lives. We're going to be shutting down some liquor joints around here because of the kind of revival that this old church is going to have. You say, that's loud talk. I'm not talking for myself. I'm just a mouthpiece for the one that sent me, and God's going to do something around here. I'm telling you, you can't conjure up the kind of spirit that we have around here. Hey, God has come to visit the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. God has come to visit the Martinsburg, West Virginia area. God's come to visit the Panhandle. Get ready. All over the Panhandle, you're going to be seeing buses run everywhere. Those buses are going to be bringing little boys and girls to Jesus Christ. This quad state area, we have people that come to our church from Virginia and, of course, West Virginia and from Maryland and Pennsylvania. God has come to visit this area. God has come to visit. I think we are the furthest suburb of the Washington, D.C. area. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to hear about us in D.C. They're going to hear about us in D.C. They're going to hear about what's going on at this little piece of property right here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Why? A revival has come, and for some reason, God wants a revival here, and God is going to do even bigger and better things. Hey, East Coast of the United States of America, hey, strap in tight. Little, something's happening in the mountains of West Virginia, and you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. They're going to keep on passing through out there on 81. They're going to see a parking lot full. They're going to hear about a church that's full of a bunch of excited people. There are coming out of the world, coming toward Jesus Christ. Oh, get ready now. Hey, God has come to visit. God's come to visit you. God's come to visit those of you in the balcony. I don't know what you think about all this, but God came for you. God's here for you, choir. God's here for you, those on the lower floor. God came to visit you. You better stop and realize how personal this thing is. Hey, visitor. Hey, visitor that's here tonight. You're here. You're at a place where God's doing something big. It's no uh-oh that you're here. It's no accident that you're here. God brought you here because God's in this place. And for some reason, God wants to use this church to do something in your life, even if it's only tonight. And I believe something else. I believe God not only came to visit the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and God not only came to visit Martinsburg and the Panhandle and the Quad State area. God only has come to visit the suburbs of Washington, D.C. and you. But I think God came for me too. And I was on my face praying before I came here. And this is what I said. I'll go. If you want me to give up everything I've worked for 18 years, I will go, God, to Martinsburg, West Virginia, but I'll only go if you go with me. I will not go on my own. And I think, honey, when we loaded up the U-Haul, we had a passenger we did not realize because he came. He's here. He's here. He's here, folks. Stop and realize. Didn't you think after a couple weeks it'd all die off? He's here. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's using us. God is here. And I say to you, let's recognize what's happening around here. Let's realize there's a revival sent from God. So what do we need to do? We better recognize it. Then we better support it. We better support it. You better support it with your attitude. Be glad. Let's just be glad that we're in the house of the Lord. Hey, support it. Even when the parking lot is full and you have a hard time finding a parking spot, don't you get a sour spirit on me. Yeah, we got a full parking lot. There are a whole lot of other churches that would love to have a full parking lot. We've got a full parking lot. You can't find a parking space. Be glad.
Amen.
Just keep a smile on your face when you got to park out there in the grass instead of getting a nasty attitude about it. And as soon as you give me $20,000, I'll build us another parking lot. But I'm having a hard time coming up with all the $20,000 I need to build everything, and you're going to have to help me. Hey, be glad the pews are full. Don't get that attitude that, well, they took my seat up front. Now I've got this. There's no room for me. Thank God you're in a church where it's packed with people. Don't get a sour spirit about it. Well, that's been my pew forever. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. When we build the new auditorium, we'll just pull this pew out, send it to your house, and let you have it, all right? But for the time being, you might want to share it with somebody while we're trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. Hey, I say realize it. Then support it with your attitude. Support it with your attendance. Be here. Be here. Don't miss a thing. I say it all the time. God's going to do something special in every service this church has. Don't you miss it. Don't be so drab about the things of God that you miss it. Hey, don't casually miss church. If you casually miss church, you're going to end up being a casualty in the fight and in the war. You know, I know sermons, and listen to this very carefully. I never prepare a sermon with any individual in mind. I prepare my sermons with God in mind. But I can tell you this, I know sermons that could have gotten some of you out of the mess that you're in. And I walked away from my pulpit saying, she was not even there. He did not even come. I knew sermons that could have changed your teenager around had they heard that one sermon. You let them go out with their friends instead of come to church. Hey, support it. We got a revival going here. Support it with your attitude. Support it with your attendance. And I hate to say it, but support it with your money. Tithe. Give to the Faith Promise program. I'm going to be honest. We're going to need thousands of dollars to keep going. That's all there is to it. Thousands. Somebody's probably got it. So you're a money-grabbing preacher. No, I don't think that is true. We're going to have to build buildings to get people saved. I don't know what else to do. You can ask my staff. I walk and I've walked and I've walked over this property. I've turned closets into Sunday school classrooms. I'm using restrooms for Sunday school classrooms. Why? We've got so many people. I don't know where to put them all. Now, we're either going to put up or shut up. We're either going to keep this thing going or we're not. Support it. Support it with your words. Tell people about it. Tell your family about what God's doing around here. Tell your friends. Tell them at work. Tell your neighbors. Tell it across the country. And I say to you, recognize what's going on here. And support what's going on here. How? Through your attitude, through your attendance, through your money, through your words. Hey, spread it. Spread it. Help others get revived. Help others get some revival. Some of you need to go ahead and just start showing up for soul winning all the time. I've had so many people, they'll come in, they'll come one week and I don't see them again. They'll come once a month. Hey, listen folks, if there's a real hell, let's show up and go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. How often? Regularly. They go to hell regularly. Soul winning, this next Thursday night, 6:45, up in the Persian room. Let's just show up full force. Hey, let's spread it. Let's spread it through our bus ministry. Let's spread it through our tapes. You know something? Those tapes back there, a bunch of you, you're here, you order the tape so you can listen to the sermon over and over again. That's a good idea. But let me tell you something. For those who won't come to church, get them some of those tapes and put them in their hands and say, listen to this. Listen to this. I think we'll have people come to our church because they hear what's going on around here. And then even for those that won't come faithfully. There are people, they're sporadic. They hit and miss. Now, if they ate their meals like that, they'd all starve to death. We got a bunch of anorexic Christians out there. They're dying because they're not getting the kind of food that they need. But if you have somebody in your Sunday school class or on your bus route or some friend that you can't seem to teach them how to be faithful to God, you just start getting them the tapes and put them in their hands and say, you gotta come get this straight out of the feeding trough. Come get it while it's hot instead of while it's warm off of the tape. But we need to spread it. Spread the word about the many people getting saved. Spread the word about the people getting baptized. Spread the word about changed lives. Spread the word about all the visitors. You see, to whom much is given, much is required. There's responsibility to this thing called revival. You better recognize it. You better support it. You better spread it. Hey, and why don't you go ahead and enjoy it? Enjoy it. You know that revival is available to all, but not all are willing to pay the price. Now, evidently, some people have paid the price. Somebody has paid the price for this church to have revival. Now, let's enjoy it. Hey, is this not what Christians are supposed to want, revival? Are we not supposed to want revival in our church? We sing about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. We read about it all the time. Guess what? We've sang, we've talked, we've read, and we experience. We're there. We're having it. Churches all the way through history, they set aside a week. They set aside 2 weeks. Let's have revival. Many have never even had any revival. Guess what we've been doing for 21 months? I guess we've been cashing in on everybody else's loss. But I can tell you this, it's happening. Let's enjoy this thing. But to enjoy it, you're going to have to participate. Do you know who enjoys the most this revival? The ones that participate the most. Let me tell you, the people that enjoyed this morning service the most, the ones that have been out soul winning, the ones that have truly prayed and begged God for revival, the ones that are faithful to God, they were saying, hey, this is great. Look what happened at our church. There were some others saying, I can't wait to get out of here. You're not going to enjoy it unless you participate in it. You enjoy it most if you participate most. You enjoy it least for those that participate the least. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't get left behind. Don't get left behind now, folks. You better kick it in gear. Some of you better decide that you're going to go ahead and get excited about the things of God. Some of you parents, I'm warning you. I've been trying to tell you. Your kids are going to outgrow you spiritually. We've got a bunch of fired up young people around here. And they're excited about the things of God. And some of you parents are going to have to be making up excuses for your kids to protect your own backslidden way because your kids are excited about God. Eventually you're going to be saying to your kids, that's not important. Don't worry about that. Don't listen to that because you'll have to make them believe that you're right and we're wrong about what's going on around here because you don't want to live it. Now, parents, I'm just telling you, it's time for some of you to come out of the world, tenderize your heart, get right with God, and say, I will not be led by my teenage boy. I will not be led by my teenage girl. I will lead this thing. I'm leading my family to revival. You see, to enjoy it, you got to participate. Let me say this. To some of you that have been in Christianity forever, you better watch out. We've got a whole bunch of new converts that are still tender. They're not set in their ways. They've not said, I'm never changing that for God. They're saying, I'll change anything for God. You remember back when you first got saved, old timer? Remember back when you were really excited about the things of God and you said, I'm just so glad God saved me. God, do anything with me that you'd like to do. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll say anything you want. I'll be anything you want. But now you're set in your ways. The church is old hat. You've heard it all before. Get ready. You're going to get left behind by a bunch of young, fiery converts that say, hey, we're excited about this. We want to do something for God. Preach to us, Brother Owens. Teach us how to live. Instead of, the young converts don't sit out there and say, I hope he doesn't preach on this. I hope he doesn't preach on that. Because if he does, I'm going to get mad. That's because you've had experience at rejecting the truth, and you're so good at it now, you push it away subconsciously before it ever gets delivered. But the young converts say, come on, come on. I cannot stop growing the young converts because a bunch of older people get fat and lazy and don't want to grow in the Lord. Get ready. You're going to get left behind and you're going to end up mad at me because you're not right with God. Hey, what do you do if there's a revival? You make sure you enjoy it, but to enjoy it, you're going to have to participate in it. Don't be afraid to be spiritual, folks. It's not so bad. You were created to be spiritual. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, your music, your walk, your talk, your dress, your entertainment, your relationship, every single bit of it was created to be spiritual. Now come on over and get yourself right with God and quit playing church. Quit coming in here and acting like a good Christian for 2 hours on Sunday morning and 2 hours on Sunday night and going back out there and living like the world, running with the wrong crowd. Come on over. We're going somewhere. Don't be afraid to be spiritual. It's not so bad. Take the next step. Get it done. Sing. Some of you just need to sing. Sing at church. Sing at home. Sing in the community. Some of you need to get right with God and start enjoying it. There are people in this building, you are under conviction about something. God's been dealing with you about it. You've not told anybody about it. You know there's something in your life that needs to change. You know what you need to do? Get it right. Just get it right. You see, there's responsibility to revival. We first must recognize it for what it is. Then we should support it with our attitude, our attendance, our money, our words. Then we need to spread it. We need to spread it through our soul winning. Spread it through our taste. Spread it to by word of mouth. Then we need to enjoy it. But to enjoy it, you'll have to participate in it. To enjoy it, you're going to have to come out of this thing of being afraid of being spiritual 24-7. Then we're going to have to protect it. We're going to have to protect it. You say, how do you protect a revival in a church, Brother Owens? With your life. With your life. Live right. Live right. Now, when somebody doesn't know everything about living right, and of course nobody knows everything, but if somebody doesn't know what they need to know about living right, God's got some patience with them. Well, I'll tell you when His patience runs out. Once you know something's right to do, and you don't do it. To him that knoweth to do good, and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, how long do you think you're going to live in that little area of life where you can say, well, I didn't know that. We're learning so quick around here. It's amazing. It's not going to be long until somebody's going to have to come on out and choose to either get in or get out. You won't be able to say, well, I didn't know that. Well, I've never been taught that. Well, we're getting down to it now, folks. We're getting down to it. Protect it with your life. Staff, stay clean. Stay clean, staff. Don't you get a root of bitterness down inside you and hide it from me. You come let me help you if you've got a problem. Don't you let that thing fester and ruin our church. Staff men, you and your wives, stay close. You staff men, I don't want any of my staff men becoming whoremongers. You staff men and your wives, you stay close together and you spend time together and you take care of each other. You staff men, you let me know if your wife and you need help, I'll help you. But let's not destroy this thing. Hey, the devil shoots at the captains and the lieutenants most. And my men on this staff, you can be dead sure the devil's going to try to attack them and get them down and get them defeated and come after them. But you staff men, you rise up. You stay in your Bible. You stay on your knees. You keep on praying. You keep your wife and you keep your kids up close to you. And let's keep this thing going. You got to protect it. Every one of you church leaders, protect yourself. Live right. Oh, the devil, he's going to come after you. Why? He wants to dilute our revival. He wants to get rid of the revival. And you don't want that to happen. So we've got to protect this thing. Protect it. Protect it with your family. Husbands, protect the revival in your home. Protect it. You don't become a coward now and put your tail between your legs and run from the revival. You men, rise up and do what's right in your home. Rise up and do what's right in your home. And some of you ladies, why don't you just let them? If your husband's trying to lead you spiritually, you get off your cocky high horse, lady, and just submit to God and submit to your husband. We have a world that's full of strong-willed women. Strong-willed women. You're to submit, sugar child. If your husband wants you to change something for God, you ought to be willing to do it. If I don't like that, then you don't like the Bible, because the Bible teaches that a wife should submit to her husband. And if you've got a husband that's trying to get your family in church and change your life and clean up your family, you women ought to be saying, amen, honey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Instead of fighting like an old alley cat. Let's keep the revival going. Let's keep it going. I had a man come to me. He said, Brother Owens, I want so desperately for this to happen in my family, but my wife won't do it. Well, hon, maybe you can just blow it for us all. Maybe you can just start the rebellion that dissolves the unity and dilutes the revival. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, to whom much is given, much is required. Protect it. Protect it. Protect it in your Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher. Don't let it die. Stay loyal. You were not given a Sunday school class to stand up there and subliminally criticize what this place stands for. If you can't be loyal, just come resign your Sunday school class before you destroy something. Stay loyal. Keep that Sunday school class going. Hey, Brother Nash, keep that spirit in your Sunday school class. Hey, Brother Bajan, keep that spirit going. Let's keep it going. Hey, Sunday school teacher, let's keep it going. On your bus route, hey, Brother Martin, keep it happening, buddy. Keep bringing them. Hey, we got one man that's a missionary to Hagerstown, and he brings them by the hundreds. Thank God. Amen, Brother Martin. Let's just tear that old city up. You claim that city for God. Hey, Max Smith, going down to Winchester, Virginia, tear it up, buddy. Just keep it going. Mrs. Cave, keep it going. And boy, I'm so proud of her. Thank God for Mrs. Cave. Hey, Brother Doss, keep it going. Every one of you bus captains, let's keep this thing going. We're going to have to protect it. You say, well, Brother Owens, my bus route, there's not much to protect. Then get on the ball. Everybody else is doing their part. Let's protect it in our school. Hey, teachers, let's protect this thing. Keep a good spirit. Keep yourself right with God. That school is a part of this church. And just so you know, this church is not a part of that school. That school is a part of this church. This is a big dog, and that's the tail. And it's never going to control this church. This church is 100,000 times more important than Martinsburg Christian Academy. If you got a revival here, you can have a revival there. But having a bunch of people there will never bring a revival here. That school belongs to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and all the people that put their kids in that school better stop and learn it. That church belongs to us, and it'll be run according to us. We will not have a school board where they all get on it and vote, because they'd vote me out. I'll guarantee you. And I'm not up for re-election. Hey, teachers. Let's keep this thing hot. Let's keep it going. Brother Bush, I challenge you. Let's build the greatest school in the United States of America. I say to you, teenagers, Brother Owens is so proud of our teenagers here. I say to you, teenagers, let's keep this thing going now. Don't you turn tail on God and run. You show up for teenage soul winning. You show up for young fundamentalists. You go over to that school and take a stand. And some of you screwballs, that every time we turn around, we have to discipline you because you're half in, half out. Won't you get all the way in and don't pull our other teenagers down and live right and do right. And let's not change our minds about the things we're doing for God. Keep it pure. Let's keep our school pure. You break the rules, you break the wrong ones, we'll kick you out. That's all there is to it. Whether you're my child or his child or his child or his child, it will not matter. You break the rules, you're going down. We're going to protect that school and keep it pure and decent. Why? We got a revival going here. We got a revival going here. And some of you ought to be saying, amen, Brother Owens. Amen, Brother Owens. Hey, most of the churches in America wouldn't go corrupt if they had a man of God that wasn't scared of everybody. We're going to run that school according to the Word of God. We'll run this church according to the Word of God. We've got a revival going, and there's some responsibility that goes along with it. And I want to live up to that responsibility. Hey, spread the word. Spread the word. Protect it. Protect it over the phone. Protect it over the phone, gossip. Protect it when you're out to lunch, backstabber. Hey, protect it to the enemy. Somebody criticizes our church. I want you to be kind, but I also want you to be loyal, and I want you to be firm. I don't believe in awe loyalty. That means middle of the road. Get in or get out. Get in or get out. You say, well, this place isn't perfect. No, it's not. But you know what? I had a lady say to me tonight, she said, I had to ask God to forgive me. She said, this morning I was in church here, and I asked myself, could heaven be better than this?
Yeah, heaven's going to be better, but we're the second best thing anywhere in the United States of America, and I want to keep it that way. We've got a haven here for our children. We've got a haven here for our senior citizens. If you want to live pure and come out of the world and have a place to hide from Smutty Face, you found it, baby, but we're going to keep it that way. We're going to keep it that way. So we're going to have to protect it. We've got a revival, and there's responsibility that goes along with it. What's that responsibility? Better recognize it. You better support it. You better spread it. You better enjoy it. You better protect it, and you better not hinder it. Don't fight it. You say, I don't want this. Well, you don't want it. You say, I don't want this for this church. No, you don't want it for you. You don't want revived. You don't want to give up your worldly philosophy of get all you can all you get. You don't want to give up your lustful ways. You don't want a preacher that stands up and preaches against all the filth on television because you'd have to give up most of your entertainment. You don't want a preacher that tells you not to go to the beach. You don't want that. That's for you. You're the one that doesn't want it. By the way, it is wrong running around with all those naked people. It is wrong. It is wrong. You say, if you sit there and just smile at me real big and say, well, I'm going anyway, I'm going to tell you something, I'll preach against it till the day I die. You will be miserable. It is wrong. It is wrong running around with naked people. It's wrong. Oh, I see people that have a frown. We want revival, right? Boy, I treat that coon. Hey, don't hinder it. Don't hinder it. Don't criticize it. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. Unwise thing. Don't hinder it. Don't minimize it. Well, this isn't such a big deal. Most people have never seen what we're seeing. They've never seen what we're seeing. And some of you will regret it because you have young children, and you're going to hinder it by your behavior. Your kids will never see it if you destroy it. Some of you, don't hinder it by just watching it. You just watch it. You don't get involved. You just watch. You're a spectator. That'll handle it. Hey, and don't delay it. See, some of you are holding back. Let me say to all the staff, I have staff members. There's no doubt in my mind they've been hurt. Now, Brother Owens has your best interest in mind. You're going to hold back and you're going to hurt yourself. Just go ahead and jump in. The water's warm. It's going to be fine. I won't hurt you, God helping me. And God dead sure won't hurt you. Why are you putting it off? Why is there all that hesitation? Don't delay it. There are people in this building tonight, there's things God wants you to do, you know He does, and you keep saying, well, I'll get to it. Well, I'll get to it. Well, I'll get to it. You're procrastinating the will of God for your life. Some of you tonight need to walk this aisle, get yourself right with God, and you say, I'm done. I'm done running. I'm coming. I'm jumping in. I want to be a part of it. Hey, you all enjoy watching it, don't you? I looked around this auditorium this morning. I didn't see one single person that was out there with a frown. Well, I did one. He came around. Man. Your worst student is your greatest asset, preachers. But listen, we all enjoy it, right? You enjoy seeing people saved. You enjoy having people from 11 or 12 different states in one day come join, look at your church. We enjoy seeing people baptized. We enjoy seeing the church full. Well, what are you doing about it? You just watching? Stop being a spectator. Become a participator. Don't you be the one to hinder it. See, don't hinder it. We have revival. Well, what do you do if you have revival? You recognize it. You support it. You spread it. You enjoy it. You protect it. You don't hinder it. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray that souls be saved. Pray that God would give us the money that we're going to need in the future to build. Pray that the backslidden will be reclaimed. Pray that the Holy Spirit's guidance will continue in this place for the staff and the workers. I don't want anything from you, but I will ask one thing. You pray that God will give me His power so I can help people in my preaching. If you prayed one thing for me, I'm not worried about you praying for my finances. To be honest, I'm not worried about you praying for my health. I'm not worried about you praying for anything. if you'd pray one thing for your pastor, if you would pray that God's power would be on me so that I could preach knowing I'm preaching what He wants, I'll be the happiest man on the face of the earth. Pray. Hey, and don't run from it. Don't run from the revival. Don't leave the church. Don't leave the church. When you get your feathers ruffled a little bit, don't leave the church. Yes, you'll find another church that won't preach against going to the beach. Matter of fact, most of them won't. Don't leave your church. Don't leave your place within the church. I don't need anybody resigning their positions. Well, I got one or two I wish would. Most of you, don't leave what you're doing in the church. Hey, don't run from it. Don't run from the revival. Run to it. Don't run from it. Don't fear it. It's real. We ought to fear not having revival. Instead of fearing the revival, run to it. Somebody here tonight probably needs to just run down this aisle and throw yourself at the altar. Somebody here needs to run to the revival and stop running away from it. Some of you, you know what's been happening in some of your lives? You're saying, I tell you what, Brother Orange, things are just not right. Things are not working out well for me. Hey, which way are you going? Are you running toward the revival or running away from it? Some of you, if you're not careful, you say, I feel like I'm being shot at. I'm being shot at. Be careful. You're going to get shot in the back the way you're running. Everybody gets shot at, my friend. If you're born again, there's a spiritual battle going on. But if you had any sense, I'd keep my eye on the devil. I'd be walking toward the battle instead of running away from it. Don't run from it. Give in to God. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. You know, I think you're here because God wants you to be a part of it. What part in this revival are you supposed to play? Don't run from it, young man. Don't run from it, young lady. Don't run from it. Run toward it. Come to the revival. Don't run away from it. You see, there is a tremendous responsibility that goes along with revival. You say, what is it, Brother Owens? Well, you better recognize it for what it is and who it's from. We better support it. We better spread it. We better enjoy it. We better protect it. We better make sure we don't hinder it. We better pray for it. We better run to it and not run away from it. And in so doing, we will sustain what God is doing here. Wilt thou not receive us again, and thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, and thy people may rejoice in thee? God said through David, God, send a revival. And when it came, he said, we're going to rejoice in it. That rejoicing meant we're going to enjoy it. We want to keep the revival going. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Hey, some of you that grew up around here, Dr. Don Smith tried to keep this thing going all those years. Some of you that graduated from Martinsburg Christian Academy, won't you get on the ball and do something with your life? Won't you get in Brother Davis' Sunday school class and sit in there and learn something and get fired up? I would hate to think that I've been in this church for 20 years and somebody that's been here for 6 months is doing more for God. You say, I'm offended. You're a baby. Grow up and become responsible. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. You never have to come back and hear me preach again, but it'll haunt you to your grave. You need to do something for God. That man didn't work himself sick around here for you to hightail it and run from the revival. Come to the revival. Come to the revival. Get your heart right with God. Get yourself on fire for God. Do something for God. Don't you let some of these new converts have been here 6 months outdo you. Get something down inside you and get fired up for God and make your life count. Some of you just need somebody to be honest with you. Truthful with you. Some of you, you just want to live in the world. Say, well, I'm hurt. Then get over the hurt and do something for God. You can whine all you want, but it will not release you of the responsibility of the revival that God has brought to your church. I didn't bring it. God did. Now, what are you going to do about it?
There is responsibility that goes along with a revival. A great responsibility. He said, I could tell, pulling into the parking lot, that there was something going on by watching the people run toward the church building. You know, which way are you running? Toward it or away from it? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.